So, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And it's headed, The Visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. When Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least of the among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Amen.
And I wonder what it is that you most look forward to about Christmas. And as you anticipate Christmas coming, what is it that you particularly look forward to? I asked one of our children this a few days ago, and his reply was, that narrows it down, you've got two options. He said, you know, what are you most looking forward to about Christmas? Well, his reply was chocolate and presents. And I suspect for a lot of you boys and girls, that's probably the answer that you give. And I think that's fairly normal. But whatever it is for you, perhaps it might be the food. Perhaps you just enjoy the music and the atmosphere at this time of year and everything and all the lights and everything seems very festive. Perhaps it's the giving and receiving of gifts that you look forward to. Perhaps it's the time with family or just the time off work and not having to worry about that for a period of time or socializing with friends. And whatever it is, I wonder what it is for you. And all of these things are good. And if God has blessed you with any of these, enjoy them. These are good gifts from God. However, for so many, one or more of these things, the food, the family, the friends, the gifts, one or more of these things become the be-all and end-all. And this is what they live for. And if any of these goes and disappears, Christmas is ruined. And that's what makes or breaks Christmas. It's what they love. And we could even say perhaps it's what they worship. It's what they live for. And if one of them fails, that's it. Christmas is ruined. And it takes up, for many, it takes up all their thoughts, all their energy, and all their thinking, just thinking about these things that they're looking forward to. And today, briefly, as we look at this account of the wise men coming to visit Jesus, and as we consider the wise men, what I want us to do today is to remember to enjoy all of the gifts that God has given us, but worship the Lord Jesus and remember to worship him only. Well, in verses 1 and 2, we're introduced to these wise men, and I've called this wise men walk in verses 1 and 2. Now, we don't know whether they walked or whether they came on camels, but I needed a W and it was better than travel. So we've got wise men walk in verses 1 and 2. And so we're introduced to these wise men, and it's probably several months then after Jesus had been born, after his birth and after the account of the shepherds that you can read in Luke's gospel, that the wise men come and visit Jesus. The family seem to have stayed in Bethlehem for some period of time. And here are these wise men visiting the Lord Jesus. Perhaps he's 18 months old at this stage. And who were these wise men? They're called magi here in the passage, or wise men. It's unlikely, as tradition says, that they were kings, but far more likely they were from Babylon or Persia or Arabia, and they were astrologers, sorcerers, magicians. And it's striking, isn't it, that these men, as they come from the east to Jesus, firstly to Jerusalem, it's striking that these are probably not God-fearing men as they start their journey, or before this journey. They probably are pagan magicians and astrologers. And yet as they see this star, they recognize that this star that has appeared marks the birth of the King of the Jews. And as they see this star, they come to Jerusalem, and although they probably are not God-fearers before this star appeared, they come to worship the King of the Jews. And it's not entirely clear how they associated this star with the birth of the King of the Jews, with the birth of Jesus. But it seems that they must have had some knowledge, a little bit of knowledge, to understand that they needed to come to worship the King of the Jews that had been born. Perhaps it was through the Jewish diaspora living where they came from. Perhaps they had some of the Old Testament scriptures in their language, it's quite likely, or in their place where they were living. But however they came by this information, they had some expectation that a king was going to be born, a Jewish king was going to be born. And as they see the star, and certainly as Matthew is writing this, he is recalling another pagan magician, Balaam, who prophesied that a star would come up. As they see this star, they do come to the right conclusion that they need to come and worship the King of the Jews. And so here we have non-Jewish astrologers, sorcerers, with very little knowledge of the Bible, of the Old Testament, and yet God in his grace works in their lives, and they rightly associate, perhaps they speak more than they understand, as they come to worship the King of the Jews, they rightly associate this star with the birth of the King. And their response is correct. As they see this star and they realize that the King of the Jews has been born, their response is correct. They travel to find him and to worship him. They didn't know much about this boy that was born, and yet they knew enough to realize that they had to worship him. We know that they didn't know a huge amount because they go to the wrong place. They go to Jerusalem. If they'd have known more, if they'd have known more of the Old Testament, they would have known to go to Bethlehem. And so they go to the natural place where they expect the King of the Jews to be born, the capital city. They go to Jerusalem. They go to the palace, and they go to Herod, who is and who was called at the time the King of the Jews. And as they go to Herod, they need to be told that Bethlehem is the place that they need to go to. So we see these wise men coming to worship Jesus. But secondly, we see in verses 3 to 8, we see that Herod worries. Herod worries. As the wise men come to understand that the King of the Jews is born, their response was to worship. They come to worship the King. And yet we see a completely different response from Herod. As he hears of the birth of the King of the Jews, and as he hears that this baby has been born. Do I need to put this down a bit? Getting quite a lot of feedback. Is that better? Thank you. The wise men, they realize that they need to worship as they hear about the King of the Jews. But as Herod hears of this baby that's been born, his response is completely the opposite. and he worries, he's disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. History tells us that Herod, this king, was a tyrant. He was paranoid, and he would kill off all threats to his throne, to the point where he, despite all of his great building works that he did, and you can still go and see some of them today, he killed off his wives and his sons because he was so paranoid about others taking his throne. And so his response is completely natural. He worries, he's fearful for his throne. Perhaps some of you will watch these animal programs that are shown, and they go and they look at the animal kingdom and they show us the behavior of some of these animals. And often as you watch these things, you see animals of the same species fighting each other. As they see a threat from outside, as they see a threat to their territory, you'll see these animals of the same species fighting to eliminate the competition. And really, Herod is just acting in the same way. If we had read on in Matthew's Gospel this morning, we would see that Herod wasn't wanting to worship the king, but he was plotting against the Lord Jesus. He saw Jesus as a threat to his throne. And as he hears of the king of the Jews, he's thinking, well, who is this? I'm the king of the Jews. He's a threat to my throne. And his response is to eliminate the competition. And so we have the massacre that's recorded later on. But as the wise men come to Herod, Herod then calls the religious leaders. And Herod, who lived in Israel, and all the religious leaders who had all of the knowledge of the Old Testament, they knew where they had to look, and they came and tell Herod where they had to look. This Messiah, the Christ, would be born in Bethlehem. The king of the Jews, that's where to look for him. They needed to go to Bethlehem, and they quote a prophecy from Micah, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah." And see, these men have far more knowledge than the wise men. They know where it is they have to look. They say, you've got to go to Bethlehem to find the king. And they go further and they describe what kind of king this would be that was born in Bethlehem. And here is the king who was born in David's town, who was born in David's line, and he will be a king like King David. Because he will be the one who will shepherd his people. He will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. You see, this king that was born would be a shepherding king, a caring king, a loving king. He would rule well. And the Lord Jesus, as he is king, he rules well and cares and he's kind. He takes the utmost care for his people. What a contrast that is to Herod, whose response is to be violent and kill off any threat to his throne. And despite having this knowledge, we see the religious rulers with their status that they would have had at the time, Herod the king, who perceives Jesus to be a threat to his throne. Despite having more knowledge than the wise men, their response is wrong because they don't go and worship the Lord Jesus. And instead, Herod is making a plan. And as he says, find the child and tell me and I'll go and worship him. As the story goes on, we realize that this is not his intention at all. He's seeking just to kill the Lord Jesus. And so they've got the knowledge and yet their response is completely different. No worship of Jesus. See, Herod has his kingdom. He's the king of the Jews. And yet his kingdom, even though it's so insignificant compared to Jesus' kingdom, he would rather, when he hears of Jesus, he'd rather protect his own kingdom, his own small kingdom, rather than worship Jesus. And worship him, the King of Kings. And sadly, aren't so many of us like Herod today? We have our small kingdoms, We have our own life. And we're king of our own life. And we rule in our own life. And we're in control. And everything's in its right place. And everything seems sure. And we know that if we decide to worship the Lord Jesus and worship the King, it will rock the boat. It will mean change. It will mean sacrifice. It will mean giving up certain things, giving up certain ways of life. And so rather than worship Jesus, we keep him at a distance and perhaps even outright defy him and blaspheme against him. See, Herod would rather rule over his small kingdom than worship the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. We see that wise men, they walk. We see Herod who worries. And then in verses 9 to 12, we see the wise men who worship. The wise men who worship. There are two outcomes here. The wise men who are seeking Jesus, genuinely seeking him to worship him, they find Jesus and they worship him. Herod, who is seeking Jesus to kill him and eliminate him, does not find Jesus, and he's thwarted in his plans as the wise men don't return and they go back another way. And see, as the wise men who are there to worship the king, they find him and they're overjoyed as they meet the Lord Jesus. And as they come to Jesus, these men whose response as they saw the star would be to worship, and as the star appears a second time and guides them to the Lord Jesus, their response is correct. They worship the Lord Jesus. They fall at his feet and they present their gifts, recognizing that Jesus is completely superior to them and he is to be worshipped. And so we see these Gentile astronomers, sorcerers, finding grace as they come and meet the Lord Jesus and worship him. They knew very little, but they knew enough that they must find the Lord Jesus and they must worship him. And as they do, they're filled with joy as they meet the Savior of the world. And the other response, Herod, the other outcome, Herod, who has no intention of worshipping the Lord Jesus, this evil man conspiring against God, his plans are thwarted. You know, with the devious, God shows himself shrewd. And so as Herod is plotting, God shows that he is sovereign, he's in control, and he's protecting his Christ. As the wise men go back by another route, and Herod does not find the Lord Jesus. And so this morning, as we think about this account of the wise men coming to visit Jesus, the wise men knew very little. They went to the wrong place. Gentiles, pagans, but they see a star and they know enough that they've got to come and worship the King of the Jews. Herod and the religious leaders, they had far more. They had God's word telling them where to go and find him. They knew where he was to be born. But they refused to worship him because they had too much to lose. And so they didn't come to the Lord Jesus. And so this morning, as we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus, today we have far more reason to worship Jesus than any of these did in this account. We have far more reason than both the wise men and Herod to worship the Lord Jesus. We know far more. We know the outcome of this baby's life. We have far more reason to worship him because we know that like Herod, another evil leader would come much later in Jesus' life and would put the king of the Jews to death on the cross. And it seemed as Jesus was put to death on the cross by another evil ruler, it seemed that this time God's plan had been thwarted, and it seemed that this time evil had ruled. But even then, God was in control as Jesus died according to God's plan as he died on the cross, to die for us, to take upon himself all of our sin, and to win victory over the grave. And so this morning, we know far more, we have far more reason to worship the Lord Jesus than any of these did in this account. We know the outcome of his life. We know how he became the Savior, the King who died on the cross. And so worship today the King of the Jews and the King of the whole world, the King who died to forgive sin. And so today, as you enjoy the gifts, as you enjoy spending time with family, as you enjoy the food, as you enjoy everything that God has given, enjoy them, but remember to worship Jesus. And so in everything that you do today, and this holiday season, and throughout the year ahead, submit it to the Lord Jesus, the one who is worthy of all your worship, the King who has loved you and died for you.